This is Cripple Jay, and welcome back to the Nerdcast Interviews. A few weeks ago, I talked to my buddy Russ. We talked about his app, OCR Buddy, and the New York Yankees. Well, he's back today because today was the MLB trade deadline, and it was a crazy day for baseball fans. There were a lot of trades. We looked at how some of the teams did, what some of the deals were we liked, and just talked baseball in general. Hope you enjoy. So how's the beta testing going?
Well, I'm going to be starting actually tonight.
Oh, okay.
I haven't sent anything out yet. Had a lot of, not a lot of bugs, but there's been one bug that's been bothering me all day that for some reason is only working on my phone. And but we got it figured out, and so they just set up the latest release. Because basically it's on Google Play right now, through a hidden Google Play that's for beta testing. And so it's there now, but it's not yet approved by the App Store. So it's only going out to those that are testing with an Android phone, not the iPhone.
Yeah.
Because it's called Test Flight, I think it is, or something, that they have some special procedure. They check this and that and whatever, and you know, they, I guess they think that they're better than everyone else, so they take a little more time. But we hope in the next day or so that they'll approve it, and then it'll be in. I have 91 people testing it, I think it is. So
healthy number.
Yeah, I was originally hoping for 50, and everybody who said they wanted to test it, I'm testing it. So, like there were little kinks here and there with trying to get all the information we need. And I took a lot of information from the people as well as, you know, what groups they run with and what races they've done. I've made a lot of compilation lists besides what I've been doing originally.
Yeah.
So this has been keeping me pretty busy. I was up last night. Mara went to the Counting Crows Rob Thomas concert last night.
Yeah.
After I put the girls to bed. Basically, I sat from 8:30 to 1 in the morning working with the guys and doing everything else we're doing. And then it's been, like, emails all day. And, you know, it's like, it's crazy, but it's a fun crazy, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, like, my head's spinning. Because I just sent out an email to the 90-something people saying, you know, the emails will be coming out at 10 o'clock. 9 to 10, I'll be busy doing this other thing, so don't bother me. But, well, you know, it's like, everyone who I've spoken to or has emailed or commented are, like, super excited, and I guess my only fear is, like, letting people down, you know? That's, I guess, my fear is, like, you know, people won't be happy with it, but, you know, they're all the dice, and you know, we'll be updating it a dozen times in the next week, and the beta tests will go on for probably at least a month.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens.
Look forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, it's been like I started 17 months I've been working on this.
Wow.
From the moment I thought of it and started putting it on paper until today is basically, that was February of last year. So
yeah.
It took 17 months. And it's crazy. It's like the first time I've done something that, like, I went out and did.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, I've written a book which didn't get published yet, and I actually have a TV show, a pilot for a TV show written for a reality show that hasn't gotten, I really haven't pushed it too hard to get picked up. Tried, you know, but, like, this is, like, the first thing that, like, wow, this may actually happen.
Yeah.
Or it actually, I guess it is happening now, so. It's kind of cool.
Very cool.
Kind of cool. Scary, but cool.
So did it take away your enjoyment of the trade deadline today?
No, not at all. It was fun today because you know, I'm sure you have one of, if not many, on your phone. You know, I have Bleacher Report. So, you know, and I have various, you know, the Yankees, which is my favorite team, and MLB trade rumors and MLB rumors and all this various. So it's, my phone was popping all day.
Yeah, mine was the same way.
I mean, plus, I think I counted 15 trades today.
Something ridiculous like that.
Let's see if I got it. No, I think it was more than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15, 16, 17. At 17?
Wow. Man.
So it was like crazy.
Yeah, we haven't seen a day like this in a while.
And it's interesting because I was before we started talking, it charted actually what I would think would be the teams that were buying and the teams that were selling.
Yeah.
It actually worked out. I got 15 and 15. Teams that could have bought and teams that could have sold.
Right.
Or, you know, and it actually worked out 15 and 15. You know, some are borderline either way.
Yeah.
I kind of thought, you know, you really need more than 52 wins at this point to be a buyer. But 52 and 51, depending on, you know, where they were in their division. But it was pretty wild because some things happened that you expected. Some things didn't. Some things were like, where did this come from? You know, when you had the situation with Lucroy where he didn't want to go, where, you know, originally the trade was yesterday and he said no. You know, the Yankees with the Clipper trade, Clippered out of, you know.
That just came out of nowhere, I thought.
That trade, to me, is the Yankees saying, okay, well, we're not giving up the season, but, you know, we're giving up the season.
Yeah.
You know, the guy they gave up, Campos, he's not that young. You know, he's been around since, I think, he's been around for a while. He's been around 6-7 years already. And his career, I'm pulling it up, in the minors is 36 and 25. I think I read that he was like the Yankees' number 20 prospect or something like that.
When they picked him up, he was ranked a lot higher. He came over in that Pineda deal. And he's battled injuries for a lot of his career. And that's why he seems like he's been around forever, is because he was an international signee, so I signed when he was like 16 or 17.
So he's, is that what it is?
Yeah, okay. He's still pretty young. I was surprised to see him trade him, though.
Well, I think that they traded him. I mean, Clippard or Campos?
Campos.
Well, I kind of got the feeling that, they had stuff brewing.
Yeah.
You know, at that point also. You know, he's a starting pitcher that, you know, again, is, like you said, I guess had injuries through his career. But I don't know. I kind of think that they feel their starting pitching is, obviously with other trades they made, they bulked it up a little bit too. But I think the Clipper trade was just at the time saying, okay, We got another reliever now. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. We're not giving up the season, which, you know, in the end, it was kind of just, hey, we gave up the season.
Yeah.
But I think that's all that was, to be honest with you.
Well,
that's my opinion.
They did pick up two good pitching prospects in Sheffield and Tate. So in the end, it's not going to be a huge loss for them because they got more upside guys.
Well, they had a lot of various different trades where they picked up different people.
Yeah.
The Tate trade is I mean, I'm just trying to flip through things as I go through it. The Tate trade is in the Miller trade, correct? No, that was the Beltran trade.
Yeah, that was Beltran. Tate, Swanson, and Green.
Tate, they picked up.
Tate's definitely the big name in that one, but he's struggled this year, so maybe the Yankees can get him back on track.
He was the number 4 last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're picking up a... It was funny, I read... Yeah, they picked up a top 5. I read something that in the last 25 years, the Yankees haven't had a top 5 pick in the draft, and the last 2 days, they traded for 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've heard that Tate was the guy they wanted. They picked up 3 arms. Nick Green sounds familiar, but I'm sure that's just the name that is... The name Nick Green is probably just a popular name.
There was an infielder that bounced around. He played for the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Rays.
Yeah, and the A's, I think, also at some point.
Yeah, he might have there. But yeah, different Nick Green.
Yeah, I'm pulling up his stuff, and looks like he's been pitching since 2004.
Yeah.
Nick Green, that was, and anywhere, he's actually pitched in all over. He pitched in foreign leagues also.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's just obviously just an extra in the trade.
Yeah. System depth.
Well, I'm actually, no, you know what? I'm looking at the wrong guy. It says, this guy I'm looking at, this guy Nick Green, who's a pitcher. He just pitched in the independent league in Lincoln. He pitched it for in York in the Atlantic League. I'm looking like, this isn't the right guy.
Yeah, but, I was kind of surprised by that, but
oops, my bad. But so the Yankees, if you want to, you know, just to go back there, it's, I think what they did is just restock from, you know, I forget who did the ranking, was it? They last week they had them as the 15th ranked minor league system. Now they're 2. That they picked up, you know, the trade yesterday in the Miller trade. Guys that they picked up yesterday, basically the number 1, Frazier and Sheffield is now the number 7 prospects in their system.
Yeah.
And they kind of stacked themselves up for the future. I really wish that they tried to, as I sent a message to earlier, get rid of Headley's money. But I guess they couldn't really make any deals. I heard Atlanta was talking to them about McCann, to get McCann back. But to be honest, the Yankees were one of the few teams, I think, that got hit a home run over the last couple of days.
I'd say Milwaukee's right there with them. They picked up, let's see, the big name they got was Lewis Brinson and Luis Ortiz from the Rangers for LaCroix and Jeffries. But then they also picked up Phil Bickford and Andrew Susek from San Francisco for Will Smith. I thought that was a great deal for them. And Bickford.
Just to go back 1 second on the LaCroix trade.
Yeah.
They tried to trade him, and it was to the Indians?
Yes.
And I guess that there was something with the money that he just, that's why he said no.
He vetoed it because he wanted them to decline his option right then for next season. So I guess he didn't want to stay with Cleveland for the long term. But yeah, it was going to be LaCroix to Cleveland for Mejias, Chang, Allen, and Armstrong. I don't think any of those are any. I think they got a much better deal from the Rangers anyway, so it worked out in their favor.
Well, I think the Rangers are trying to say something here, like, hey, don't forget about us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, they got LaCroix and they got Beltran today, which are 2 hitters right in the middle of their lineup.
Right.
That you can't really fault them for. I mean, they're going for it.
Yeah. And Jeffries will fit nice at the back of their bullpen. What didn't make sense for them was trading for Lucas Harrell and Dario Alvarez earlier in the week. They gave up Travis DeMeritt. He was
Travis DeMeritt, yep.
He was a second baseman. I think he was the 10th best prospect in their system, but he was a former first-round pick. And they got 2 guys from Atlanta that Atlanta either signed or picked up off waivers in May.
Which is really either just to get a roster spot, which, you know, is strange to me to try to just get, you know, it's almost like trying to get a roster spot where, okay, we need to get someone off our 40-man roster, so you're trading a guy away.
Yeah.
I said that Texas is, you know, hey, don't forget about us. You know, meanwhile, they're leading the West by 6, but I think that they were watching other teams, what they were doing is like Cleveland, and I think that some what they were trying to do is really not more of their division, but more for, hey, the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, they're the best record, and they got better, which really no one's really talking about.
No,
they have the best record in the American League. They're behind the Chicago Cubs by 1 for overall. The Cubs we'll talk about after. They obviously got better too. But you know, I think that they're making a statement because, to be honest, without I bet that most people, if they didn't know that, looking at something that, holy cow, the Texas Rangers are up by 6 games, you wouldn't know it because you hear nothing about them.
Right. And actually, the Rangers were one of two teams that got the 50 wins before the Cubs did. But you won't hear that.
Yeah, and you only hear about the Cubs.
They're the chosen team.
But it wouldn't be, you know. You know, they gave up, in the LaCroix trade, they gave up an outfielder and, am I thinking of the right guy?
The Rangers? They gave up Lewis Brinson, an outfielder, and Luis Ortiz, a right-hander, plus a player to be named later.
Yeah, but Brinson's the guy who they really wanted.
Yeah.
Because, he's a good outfielder, if I remember reading that correctly. He's probably one of the top outfielders, in their opinion. Obviously, that's out there.
Yeah. I know they were talking to him about Joey Gallo, the third baseman with tons of power. But that fell through, and they went with Brinson and Ortiz instead, which I think probably be better for him in the long run.
You know, jumping for a second, talking about things that fell through. You heard about with the Mets and Jay Bruce.
Yeah.
Because originally, if you heard this, it was announced this morning that, or at some point, that they had a deal. First, I heard they had a deal with a team. They didn't announce who it was. Then it came out the Mets. It was for, I think, Nemo.
Yeah.
His first name blank. Brandon Nemo, I think it is.
Yeah.
And out here in New York, people were, New York, you know, the radio shows, when you listen to them, they were like, okay, you know, it's not a bad deal. They're getting Jay Bruce, the middle of the lineup, they have nothing. And then when it fell through, to make sure they had the trade, they had to give up, they gave up Dilson Herrera.
Yeah.
Now, going back to last October, November, December, whenever it was, when Murphy signed with Washington, one of the things that the Mets brass kept saying is, don't worry about it, we got Dilson Herrera to play second base in the future.
Right.
So, now he's gone. So, this is really, I think, the Mets' way of saying, okay, we want in. You know, we're going for it right now. We want in, and this is the way we're going to do it. This is how we're going to boost our lineup.
See, I don't know if the Mets really had faith in him, because if they would have, they would have gone with him and not traded for Neil Walker.
Well, I think that they saw Herrera in the future, and that they were looking, okay, we have, you know, these guns, you know, all these pitchers, you know, we need something to replace Murphy. And I think they did pretty well when they obviously signed Cabrera and Neil Walker. But, you know, this was supposed to be their guy in the future, that, okay, well, don't worry about it, after a few years he'll be taken over, and, you know, they gave him up. And, you know, they got, who is it? No, he was number 16. So, and the other guy is, you know, a throw in this Max Hotel guy.
Yeah.
But, and then they announced that they got John Neese back.
Which Twitter blew up. People were not happy about that.
Well, the reason why some people are happy, well, why, I didn't see that yet, because I was working on my other project. Why were they not happy?
Most people were glad Neese was gone after last season. They don't feel there's a spot for him, even though they're going to slot him into the bullpen, maybe give him a start here and there. But, they traded away Bastardo, who wasn't doing anything.
Well, Bastardo, I believe, in Major League Baseball, was the pitcher who took the most time between pitches.
Yeah.
I think in his last appearance, I forget who it was joking about, and there was like something going on, like things you can do in between pitches from Antonio Bastardo, and they were showing grass. Like grass grow. You can watch grass grow. So, yeah, so so they were, I think, Met fans, at least people who go to games that he was pitching, and I think are at least happy that he's gone.
Yeah. So, What other teams did you like the moves of?
What other teams I like the move of? I thought the Dodgers did something pretty good.
I was kind of surprised. You kind of mixed signals from them. Because they turn around and get Rich Hill and Josh Reddick, and then they pick up Jesse Chavez, too.
Well, hang on. Jesse Chavez pitched for the Bakersfield Blaze in 2005, so he's okay from my book.
Well, he's had some good seasons with Oakland. But
yeah, just, I think that, that I don't know much about the guy Mike Bolsinger who they gave up, but I think that the two trades they made after, they made the one, they made the trade yesterday, today as well, for Rich Hill and Reddick, I think bolster their team as it is. Plus, if you go back, and I know that we're going back to about a month ago, but you know, they had another trade where they picked up Bud Norris also.
Yeah. It's just funny, though, because they were tied to all these big names, like the Rays pitchers and stuff. And then they turn around and get Jesse Chavez.
Well, sometimes you got to get what you get.
Yeah.
Well, they did get Rich Hill also.
Yeah.
And well, they didn't give up any of their real top-notch prospects.
Grant Holmes is one of their biggest prospects, I think. I haven't seen where he was ranked in the midseason updates, but he was a pretty big name in the offseason. Montas, they got him from the White Sox in the offseason. He was a decent prospect. I don't think he's done anything major in the majors this year. And I think Cotton was just a throw-in.
Yeah, well, I kind of see the Dodgers as one of those teams that really needs to go for it every year. Think of, you know, and obviously not this year with the Yankees, but you have certain teams that always seem to, with the money that they have, need to do something. And I think the Dodgers are one of those teams. It never seems to work, but they always seem to try to do something.
Right. They're the Yankees of the West Coast. You can say it.
Yeah. Didn't I hear, was it yesterday, that the A's announced that Rich Hill would not be traded?
It was either yesterday or the day before. Well, he's kind of had an up and down, like, last 2 weeks, because they were going to trade him, and then he had the blister problem and missed, like, one or two starts, pitched four pitches in the next game, got scratched from another start or two, and then finally got put on the DL earlier this week. And then they decided to start talking to him about an extension, and then all of a sudden, he's a Dodger.
Yeah,
I was surprised to see it, because, yeah, like, everything we heard was, we're going to sign him to an extension.
Do you think that basically said, I'm not signing an extension, so they traded him?
Probably. They couldn't work something out in a quick period. They saw an opportunity to get some decent players back.
Well, that's really what, you know, and it's, if you look at the trades, and if you look at, you know, you don't have those, you know, I wouldn't call any of these trades blockbusters. To me, a blockbuster is where both teams are giving up names that are like, wow, I can't believe that happened. And there really aren't too many of those out there anymore, where you have real top stars. And yeah, Miller's a star, and Chapman's a star, but you know, you remember what was it, I want to say it was in the 80s, when the Padres made the trade with Blue Jays, was it? Fred McGriff trade?
Yeah, Tony Fernandez.
Right. So you know the trade I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, but both teams are giving up stars, and both teams are trading names for, and both teams got better for it. And those trades just don't happen much anymore.
Last one I can really think of like that would be A-Rod for Soriano, that deal. And Soriano was still a young player at that time.
And that was, what, 2004? No, before that. It was around 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was the year after the Aaron Boone home run.
Yeah.
Which I happened to be at. Aaron Boone tore his knee up playing basketball in the offseason. That's what happened.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's been more trades like that, but that's like the last one that really stands out.
Yeah, because now it's more of, okay, I'm dumping salary, I'm going to rent a player for 2 months.
We're going to restock the system.
You know, money for money, restock the system. You know, and, you know, very rarely now do you have the, you know, I'm looking through the list of the guys, you know, it's, I don't see on both teams players where you're like, wow, I can't believe they traded him.
Right.
On one side, you might, you know, like, I was surprised Pittsburgh traded Liriano today, but they got Hutchinson back.
But they, that deal has kind of changed a little bit since that was announced. Pittsburgh also sent Harold Ramirez, an infield prospect, and Reese McGuire, a catching prospect, with Liriano. Apparently, they were trying to just get rid of his contract. So they had to send two good prospects along with him.
Well, prospects, that's something to give them. Well, I may say changes it because that's pretty. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, because Reese McGuire was a first-round pick a few years ago. And then Ramirez, I don't think he was a first-round pick, but he's moved through the system quickly, and they said he's a guy that's worth watching. So I was very surprised to see those names added in.
Yeah, it's definitely, that changes my view of that, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, over the past few years, you know, you would have, you know, you see Pittsburgh as, you know, a pretty decent team.
Yeah, contender.
And what was it?
They're a contender most times now.
Right, and I don't know. I'm not sure how to. I mean, they're this year, like, you know, like I said before, that 52 win. You know, that's where they are.
Yeah,
they have 5 or 6 teams ahead of them for the wild card. So I guess, you know, getting rid of them and moving on, I guess, is what they're doing now. Because I had them as a borderline buy-sell team. And I guess they weren't on the sell.
Well, I'm looking at everything they did. Because they did pick up, I mean, they traded away Melanson and got two young pitchers back. But then they traded for Ivan Nova, gave up two.
Oh, yeah.
two players to be named later. And then taking Bastardo on, it's just kind of, it's mixed signals.
I think Nova was a dump from the Yankees that they just, I think, well, finally just lost faith in him. He had great potential, hurt his arm, and I think the Yankees just got tired of him.
Yeah.
And these players to be named later are going to be two single-A players or single-A and double-A players that really, you know, are probably not in the top 50 in Pittsburgh's in their ranking.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. But, you know, I just don't see any of these trades as a move. I see it more of a, let's get rid of Liriano's contract. They probably were just sick of Nice. Probably, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, there's just things there that, you know, when you see a team doing that kind of thing, I don't know if, you know, and they got rid of Melanson, obviously. That's a sign as well that they're selling. But I think that that's just also that, you know, I don't know. Maybe their front office just doesn't have an idea what they want to do right now.
Yeah.
Because you don't trade your closer if you want to, make a run for it.
Yeah.
Not only do they trade the closer, they trade them within the National League as well. So you trade him to someone who's you're going to be facing at some point.
Right. So I got another weird trade for you: the Miami San Diego trade. Cashner, Ray, Guerrero, and Cash for Naylor, Cozart, Castillo, and Caps.
Now that was the one where a pitcher was held out of the trade. I'm trying to trying from my memory that today looking at some of the things that went on.
Ray,
Miami made a trade and a player got kicked out of the trade for something.
Well,
arm injury or something.
Yeah, Colin Ray, he pitched for them Saturday night. I was watching the game. He hurt his elbow in the game, and I guess they determined the injury was there prior to the trade, so they traded back Luis Castillo, one of the pitching prospects, and so Ray's back with San Diego.
Okay, that's what I read. Okay.
Yeah.
Now that makes more sense.
He pitched 4 innings on Saturday night and got hurt.
And then they determined that it was a previous injury.
Yep.
Okay.
And then Andrew Cashner hit Aled Mestias on Sunday and fractured his wrist, and he's out for a while now. So I'm not happy about that.
So who do you think got the better of the deal in the Padres Miami trade?
I think the Padres did, because Cozart's a decent pitcher when he's right. Naylor's a good prospect, and Carter Capps has been a solid reliever. Cashner's been up and down and injury prone. I don't really know much about Guerrero, the prospect they sent along with him. It would have been a lot better if they could have kept Castillo, because he's a pretty hard thrower, but he's still got a ways to go.
Well, the Padres obviously were in sell mode, and they got rid of Rodney.
Yeah.
Last month.
Yep.
They got rid of Mel Upton.
Yep.
And got rid of Matt Kemp.
Yeah, and the Kemp one was kind of funny because they took on Hector Oliveira.
Yep.
And then designated him for assignment right away. So you know that was a pure salary dump for Kemp, even though it pretty much equaled out.
Oliveira. I want to see if I can just find him for a second. I'm just curious. Hector Oliveira.
Yeah. He was the Braves player that got suspended in spring training for domestic abuse.
Well, he was... They designated him for assignment, huh?
Yeah. Like, moments after the trade.
Well, I'm looking at this. Hang on a second. Because he's the third baseman, correct?
Yeah, I think he's been playing outfield for the Braves when he was playing before his suspension.
Okay, because this has his salaries in 2016 is $8.6 million, and it increases all the way through to 2020.
Yeah.
So they basically they designate him for assignment. If they waive him, they're due for like $60 million on his salary.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they have all of it. I think the Dodgers are paying for some of it.
$5 million a year, basically.
Yeah.
So Dodgers are on for $25 million over the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Or $20 million over the next 4 years. That's interesting. So you know someone's going to pick him up.
Most likely, because they'll have to pay the minimum for him. And hope he turns around.
Yeah, he wasn't doing much this year anyway. But it's surprising when a team, you know, it's funny because they'll dump, who was it this year earlier that dumped? Oh, the Rockies dumped Reyes.
Yeah.
Right? They dumped $40 million, just got rid of him. You know, here's, we're going to pay you $40 million and go have fun for the next 3 years and now go play with the Mets.
Yeah.
Right? So basically you're paying him $40 million to get rid of him. This guy is going to be getting $55 million, whatever it is, over the next 4 or 5 years to go play wherever he plays, whether he plays in, you know, as the major league line, you know, the California Penal League, or he goes plays wherever, he's going to make that kind of money. And then you have other teams that will have players like A-Rod or some of these other aging stars, but they're not going to dump a $25 million.
Right.
That just caught me off guard when I looked over his salary because I didn't realize that he was making that kind of money over the next few years. This is almost like a money-for-money trade where the Padres just said, we just don't even want to deal with either of these guys.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah, that caught me off guard.
It kind of reminds me of when like Atlanta picked up Bronson Arroyo last year in, who was it? Carlos Quinn a year before. And they just took on their salaries and dumped them because they got prospects with them. This case, the Padres didn't get a prospect, though.
Well, they got 6 guys over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing to write home about, but I think that, you know, again, you kind of wonder what their front office is doing. Because it seems like the Padres are doing this all the time.
Well, they went big 2 winters ago and signed and traded for everybody, and then they didn't perform, so then they just shut it all down.
Right.
Because that's when they traded for Kimbrel and Kemp, and they got both Uptons, and it just didn't work for them. And, like, that's when they signed James Shields, too.
Right. And how many of them are still with the team now? Zero?
Yeah, I don't think any of them are left.
Right. It just seemed like, and they did the same thing, like, yeah, about 10 years ago, too. 7, 8 years ago, also.
Yeah. It's almost like the Marlins.
The Marlins. The Marlins are, well, that was the old Marlins.
Yeah, they'll dump these guys they just got, though, after the season.
Yeah, it's, you know, it seems like, again, that they always seem like, well, we're, you know, lately, we're trying, but I don't know. I just don't see them overtaking Washington.
Yeah.
I think Washington's going to run away with that division, even with the Mets trade for Bruce. Okay, so go to the Cubs.
All right.
I know you're a St. Louis guy, and St. Louis basically did nothing except for the Zach Duke trade, I think it was.
Yeah, and I didn't like that because I like Charlie Tilson, that outfielder they gave up. And it seems like every year they give up a decent prospect that ends up maybe not the greatest player, but he does a little bit in the majors. And so, like, last year they gave up Kyle Barraclough to the Marlins for Steve Cishek. And Barraclough's a decent reliever for him that's throwing hard, something we could be using this year. And they did the same thing the year before with John Broxton. So I get tired of seeing them not sign a reliever and then giving up something of value later on.
Well, they were looking for relief. Is that what they were looking for?
Yeah. Like, they were tied to Joe Smith, who the Cubs end up getting.
And I never heard their name mentioned anything with either the Yankees pitchers at all, the relievers.
Yeah, I think that was too much out of the league for them. I mean, they don't have anyone equivalent to Torres or Frazier that they were willing to give up.
Right.
So that was never going to happen. I mean, they would have wanted an Alex Reyes, our best pitching prospect. That's, many consider him a sure thing in the majors, but there's no such thing as a pitching prospect, so. But the Cubs picking up Chapman, Joe Smith, Mike Montgomery, and then a prospect. And they gave up quite a bit of farm talent, but their system's so deep, it's not even going to be an impact.
Well, you don't need an infielder for the next 8 years.
Right. So Torres and Vogelbach had no place to play. I mean, you're not going to move Addison Russell. You got Javi Baez moving around a lot. First base is taken up by Rizzo forever. So there's nothing you can do with the infield.
You know, and it's funny because the Yankees in the trade with Chapman got Adam Warren back. So, and they traded Adam Warren straight up for, now I'm blanking on the name, the infielder, Castro.
Castro, yeah.
So if you think about it, the Yankees traded Chapman for all these guys and throw in Castro because the guy they traded Castro for, they got back.
Yeah. Well, there was also Brendan Ryan there, but he didn't last very long with the Cubs.
Well, come on. All due respect to the guy, but you don't even think of him in that part of the trade because he was just throwing because in case they needed an infielder for something.
Yeah. No, trust Brendan, me, I know all about Brendan Ryan.
I mean, the guy don't think has hit my daughter's weight over the past couple of years. You know, my daughters are not even three, you know?
Yeah. Well, he could field, though. I'll give him that.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, when you hit a buck 40.
Yeah. With no power.
Which you could almost say about Mark Teixeira these days. But.
Yeah. So, back to the Cubs.
I think they did great.
Yeah.
I think they're going for it. I think that they're saying, you know, that their bullpen was one of the, was if not their only weakness, seemed to be weakness, perceived weakness. They definitely fortified it.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, Chapman's now your closer. You push Rondon into the eighth inning. You pick up Joe Smith, who can get out just about any right-handed hitter. Montgomery shores up things from the left side, and then they just added Joe Nathan to the roster.
Oh, they finally put him on the roster. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's five guys that you just mentioned. So they basically have a 6-7-8-9 team now.
Yeah. And then, I mean, they've got great starting pitching, too, with Lester looking like his old self. Shoot, I'm drawing a blank now.
As long as Lester can throw to first base, they're okay.
Yeah. I mean, they are probably the most well-rounded team in baseball. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, definitely.
And then they're just going to keep pulling guys up from the minors, too.
Oh, yeah, they have Lackey and Arrieta. And Travis Wood also.
Yeah.
That's what you're probably thinking about.
Yeah, Arrieta.
But now it's...
It sucks to be on the other side of it.
Well, I think at some point you just say, okay, and, you know, as a Yankee fan, you say, okay, we're how many games back? We're not going to jump at all. Tip your hat to Baltimore. You know, tip your hat to Toronto. You know,
that's a Boston.
Boston, you know, and you know you're not gonna be there. You just know you're not gonna have it, because just in the end, it's just not what, you know, it's not your year. And I think that a lot of these teams, like for example, the Angels. Angels are a good example. If you look at the Angels, where they are this year, they are 14.5 games out behind Texas. And I'm sure you can find a trade that they made, but what did they do for their team?
Took on Ricky Nolasco.
Right.
But they did get a prospect in that deal, so I'm guessing that's the only reason they did that trade. Because Alex Meyer is a decent prospect. He's kind of not as high name as he was a few years ago, but he's definitely better than most of what they have in their system right now. But Baseball Prospectus, one of their podcasts in the last week, looked at the whole Angels roster to see what they even had to trade and if they could build a team that could still compete within the time Mike Trout is signed through. And it was kind of sad listening to what they thought they could get. They thought maybe they could go from a last place farm system to a, I don't know, into the middle two-thirds of baseball.
Well, you know, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And obviously you're never going to trade Trout. You're never going to do that, obviously, right, because, you know, you'll get killed. But there has to be somewhere talent that they have that they can even, you know, for single A guys, double A guys, just, you don't need that short fire, you know, sure fire starter or sure fire whatever, but, you know, you're going to give up, you know, Santiago, Hector Santiago.
Yeah.
You know, someone, you would think someone might want Jared Weaver to shore up as a number four or something to that effect, or a three, just because, you know, he's a veteran and he's pitched before and he's been there, you know. You know, their bullpen is nothing to write home about. You know, Houston Street is their closer, and he's nothing special anymore.
Yeah, he's not the same pitcher he was.
You know, I mean, they tried to find lightning in a bottle with Lincecum, and that didn't really work out well. Or it hasn't yet, I should say. But, you know, maybe Matt Schumacher needs a new home. You know, obviously he's not doing much where he is. You know, you can get a young player for him from a team obviously looking for a four or five, you know, number four, number five.
Yeah.
You know, take a little pressure off a guy, and, you know, sometimes it works. You know, but they did have injuries. You know, they do have injuries this year, too. Yeah. You know, was it C.J. Wilson is out, Soto's out, Corey Rasmus is out.
Yeah, and they're just getting, like, Tyler Skaggs back from Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, it's, you know, and you know, where you look at a team like Detroit. You know, if you go look at Detroit and where they are and everything, you know, they are 4.5 games behind Cleveland. You figure, okay, Cleveland, they go out and they get, LaCroix, and they go out and they get
Andrew Miller.
They get Andrew Miller. They try to get LaCroix. They're trying to do something, you know, with themselves, with their team to make them better. What does Detroit do? Zero. You know, and they not even hear their name out there. You know, is anything.
They had light connections to a few guys, but nothing too serious. Nothing that ever went past just talk.
Yeah, you want to make up 4.5 games. And you know, you're not even leading the wild card. You know, you're second or third in the wild card. So it's, you know, and you're only a game or two back, but still, it's, you want to improve yourself. You know, I don't think they're going to catch Cleveland now. I think Miller's going to actually help them. Yeah. I don't think he's going to actually help them. He's going to help them. He's going to lock down their bullpen. I had the pleasure of watching him for the last year and a half, and it's fantastic to watch him.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little surprising about them. Houston, I guess, said thanks but no thanks on the season and really didn't do much.
Yeah.
You know, they traded for Scott Feldman. I mean, they traded Feldman, another pitcher who was on the Breakersville Blaze in 2005. You know, and all they got is Guadalupe Chavez.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing to note.
I guess if Edinson Volquez would have been traded today, too, it would have been a trifecta.
Yeah.
Three pitchers in the please.
Touching on Feldman, he played for Baltimore for a while, and they only made two smaller deals. Do you think was there any space, any place for them to really improve too much?
You know what? I don't think they thought so. I know that's hard to say, but I don't think they feel they're playing up to their abilities. And I think that they think that the guys are going to get better.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. I think that's how they were looking at it, because, you know, I think that besides for Toronto, Boston tried to make trades, but I think that's going to be between them and Toronto by the end of the year. I really do. And watching those two teams, I just think that Baltimore is better
than
Toronto. You know, and Toronto made some moves. You know, so I think Toronto improved themselves, but I think Baltimore is pretty secure, for lack of better words, with, you know, who they are. You know, Toronto went out and got Benoit, and got Feldman, got Liriano, got Mel Upton over, you know, the past week. They got, you know, a couple pitchers and an outfielder, and it's going to help their, you know, their team in the end. You know, not every trade is going to be, you know, a number one starter, a number two starter.
A Troy Tulowitzki.
What was that?
A Troy Tulowitzki, like last year.
Right, every so often you need to trade to get the number three starter, because now your number three starter becomes your four, your four becomes your five, and that actually improves your team. You know, you get sometimes that fourth outfielder, or, you know, the second guy out of the bullpen, you know, moves, slots everyone down. You know, when you get a new number one, for example, your one becomes your two, two, three to four. That makes everything better beneath them. And I think that's kind of what these trades are. Is like the middle guys, you know, solid veterans who will probably make the team better in the end, just because it moves everyone else back down the line.
Yeah.
I think Baltimore, you know, again, I didn't hear their name out there for much. I think that they were pretty secure with what they had. I think that, you know, they made two small trades, but nothing of you know, substance. So I think that they just felt, you know, with good old Buck leading, that, you know, they're pretty secure with what they have.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to flip through and see if there's any other teams that are, you know, it was crazy. Like today, you'd see like this trade was made, that trade was made, this guy's going, and it seems like almost every guy who was mentioned as potentially being traded got traded.
Right.
I can't think of too many guys, maybe one or two, that you would think you heard that their name that they're going to be traded and they weren't.
Yeah, there were a few pitchers. Some of the Rays guys, like Chris Archer and Jake Odorizzi, were both mentioned. And then Jeremy Hellickson. All those guys stayed put, though.
But there was some announcement that came out by the Rays yesterday. Again, one of these false announcements. We're not trading anybody.
Right.
We're keeping all our young pitchers. And, that's why sometimes, which I think a lot of these... A lot of these announcements are a bunch of crap. I mean, the Yankees told Andrew Miller they're not trading him last week.
Yeah.
That came out. But, then it came out that, we'll trade him for the right deal.
Yeah, but I think players have learned in this day and age that you can't really listen to anything that's being said about trades.
Well, it's all, marketing almost.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Washington? Got better with Melanson?
Yeah. I think almost anybody can close a game better than Papelbon these days. And I didn't understand that trade when they made it last year. Drew Sorin was doing perfectly fine for him. But, I mean, relievers fall apart pretty easily these days. So you can't be too surprised when someone like that just kind of falls apart. I mean, we're seeing it right now in St. Louis with Trevor Rosenthal. All-star last year, but can't get out of an inning for the life of him this year.
Well, I think that Papelbon, we watched him, when he was in the Red Sox, being a Yankee fan, that he always seemed to be, like, one step away from losing his mind.
Yeah.
He always seemed to be that way. So I think that when the Phillies got him, it was, hey, we got this closer. And then the Phillies, I guess, died. Where everyone over there seemed to fall apart at the same time with Rollins and... who's the first baseman?
Ryan Howard.
It almost seemed like they all hit the wall on the same day.
Yeah, but that was an aging team with a lot of bad contracts. Yeah, so you could see it coming.
But it almost seemed like it happened the same day.
Yeah.
Usually it's okay, And obviously I'll go back to the Yankees because they know them. Teixeira had a decent year, then got hurt. And A-Rod was okay for a certain amount of time. And you get these aging contracts. And, usually it's okay for a while and they overlap each other. It's usually not, it's not like they all have a meeting one day and say, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
And that's what it seemed like from the outside. Obviously, I'm not paying that much attention to the... when it was the Philadelphia of a couple of years ago, but it was like, hey, can we trade everybody? I'll be honest with you, and I don't know much about Philadelphia, but whatever happened to Ryan Howard?
Oh, he's still there. He's a part-time player making $25 million.
Okay, yeah, I just looked on. Yeah, I just see him, 14. He's about $1.68.
Yeah. They're using a guy with limited power at first base right now over him because he can hit for a little more average.
I wonder if I could hit $1.68.
I would think you could. I don't think I could, but...
Maybe utility guy who's batting $1.21 with 33 at-bats. Oh. That's not good.
No.
I have another guy... who's batting up 0.88 with 34 at-bats.
Jeez.
Are you then on the roster right now? Emmanuel Burris and Cedric Hunter?
Yeah, and both those guys were questionable guys, came in on minor league deals and broke camp with the team. They were kind of surprise players.
They're not there anymore.
No.
Surprise here. We're putting the ball on the tee. Can you hit it? No. Thank you. You're done.
Bring in Brendan Ryan for that.
Oh, yeah. You're bringing your kids to that, too. Wow, so, yeah, the So I think if there's any teams we didn't touch on. Washington picked up their bullpen.
Yeah. Let's see. Arizona was rumored to be trading some pitchers away, but they traded Ziegler and Clippard, not Shelby Miller, the big one.
The Ziegler trade, I wasn't sold on. I don't know. I'm trying to go back to what I was looking at. I mean, maybe because they traded him to the Red Sox, but I don't know if, you know, if they got what they could have for Ziegler. I don't know. I thought they could have done better for Ziegler.
I think if they would have held on a little bit longer, they probably could have, because that was an early trade.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think that they knew they were packing in the year. Greinke's out, hurt. Miller's hurt. Or Miller's out, excuse me, right now.
He's in the minors.
Yeah. You know, and it's almost like, okay, I still think they could have gotten more for Ziegler than they did from the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Because obviously if you wait another week, you know, then maybe Ziegler could have been in, you know, in play as well for some of these other teams that were looking for the relievers. We talked about before, what team did we mention that to call them the mid-level guys? Oh, help me out here, Russ.
I'm going back to look. Well, see, looking at it, which deal made me think of it? For Ziegler, they got Basabe, second baseman, and Almonte, relief pitcher. Basabe was a decent prospect. Almonte, I think, was more of a throw-in. If you look at what Washington got for Melanson, I actually think Boston got a better job for a pitcher that doesn't throw quite as hard.
Right, but you think that Boston got a better pitcher? You think Ziegler's better than Melanson?
No, I think Melanson's a better pitcher, but I think Boston got the better deal.
You think Boston gave up less?
I think they gave up more for Ziegler than Washington did for Melanson. Because Felipe Rivero is a decent lefty. He's already at the majors. They said Taylor Hearn's a similar type pitcher at high A. But then Boston turned around and gave up a pretty good second base prospect and an equivalent pitcher to Hearn. I think the upside for Basabe is better than Rivero at this point.
Right, so you think the Red Sox gave up more for Ziegler?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So if they waited, if Arizona waited, they might have gotten a better deal, but if it's similar to what Washington gave up, they wouldn't have gotten as much, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you never know what Toronto would have done.
Right.
You know, looking for, you know, guys. You know, I think the Royals got pretty shocked when Wade Davis hurt his elbow.
Yeah.
Because I heard his name is potential to be traded.
Yeah, but
you know, the Dodgers could have been in on Ziegler.
Injuries like that, though, don't necessarily have an effect in the trade because Rich Hill still got traded. Granted, it's a blister problem, a little bit different than what's Davis on with it. Was he elbow?
Yeah, it was his elbow. They sent him for MRIs on his elbow.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's a little different there, but teams will still trade for a guy who's injured. No, the Padres took Carter Capps, who's out with Tommy John.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I just think that the guy who just went for the MRI, like the MRI was announced 2 days ago, you know,
yeah,
or yesterday, it was 2 days ago. I think they are a little bit more scared to trade some of your top prospects for, you know, Wade Davis is, you know, always a top reliever.
Yeah, I get that. I get that, though.
You know, it's imagined of, you know, you know, you're going to give up one of your top 10 prospects for a guy who right now, just maybe going through a year's worth. You know, you lose him for this rest of this year and next year.
Yeah.
If it's Tommy John. You know, you always have the pitchers that think they can come back in 10 months, 11 months, and pitch next year. But, you know, a good example of that is where's Zach Wheeler with the Mets. He was supposed to be back about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but teams were talking about picking him up in the offseason and deals with Mets.
Well, don't forget that he was, that was one of the best trades ever.
Oh. Yeah.
Him, Darnold, and Syndergaard, wasn't it?
No, he was straight up for Carlos Beltran with the Giants.
Oh, right. Yes, that's correct. Yeah, so it's just, you know, but I think that, in New York radio, they thought he was going to be the best one going into all of this.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what's going to happen with Harvey now anyway with those guys. And it seems like, you know, these pitchers are, almost all of them have had something wrong already. Matt's had the surgery. Wheeler's having the surgery. Harvey had the surgery.
Syndergaard has issues.
Yeah, it's crazy with all these pitching prospects and young pitchers that you may want to say, okay, we're going to keep them until they're 25, 26, 27, and then after that, we'll see what happens.
Reminds me of Generation K.
Yeah. Bill Pulsifer. What a dude that guy was.
Cardinals, great guy. Cardinals had two of them. Pulsifer and Izzy.
Izzinghausen was their closer, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Generation K. Yeah, Generation KO it became after that.
So, any other trades you want to touch on? I think we got most of the big ones.
Yeah, hey, that Eduardo Nunez trade. Oof. I was surprised that the Tampa Bay traded Matt Moore.
Nah, he hasn't lived up to what they were hoping for before Tommy John surgery. And they got a good package for him.
Yeah, they got a bunch of players for him. Like I said, just surprised.
Yeah.
I'm glad the Yankees traded Nova. You know, the Yankees got 11 players, I think, this week. I'll take that.
Yeah. And pieces for the future, too. Not just, like, rentals or throw-in type guys.
Yeah, Clint Frazier has to cut his hair. That's about it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any other trades, really, that make you stand out and go, okay, we know what the major teams did.
Yeah.
The Indians, Cubs, the Rangers.
Yeah. They definitely all had good deadlines.
Yeah. You know, if you look at it and stop and take a step back, you know, even Washington, they think their one problem was the bullpen. They fortified the bullpen. You know, when who was it? The rumor was their top pitcher was Galito. Is that his name?
Yeah.
That it was Galito from Miller straight up. And the Yankees said no.
Which is shocking because he's a top five prospect in baseball.
In the end for Miller, they got Frazier and Shep.
And two others.
Yeah, I think that the good GMs did very well. Even up in Boston, I think that they made themselves better over the last few weeks.
I would agree.
Yeah, they got Pomeranz, they got Ziegler, they got Aaron Hill. You know, I think that they made their team better.
Yeah.
As much as I like them getting better, like you like the Cubs getting better. You know, I think that they still got good. You know, they got Fernando Abad from the Twins. I think they did okay. I feel like, you know, I think that they're trying to overtake two teams, so they try to make as much as much splash as they could. And I heard they were even in on Beltran.
Yeah, I heard that too. And the amazing thing is they gave up one top prospect out of all of those guys?
Oh. Well, a lot of it also is, you know, is how the teams scout. You know, I can remember, you know, 11 years ago now, when I worked, you know, in Bakersfield with the Rangers, that, you know, from June 15th, it was, you'd have scouts there all the time. And, you know, I would talk to a couple of them, but it seemed like, you know, just ask questions here and there, and, you know, they would never really share too much because they can't.
Right.
But it seems like at times different teams, when they scout the players, they see different things. You know, and sometimes they'll go back, especially when they're younger players, they'll go back to their own scouts when they were in college and they were going through the draft. And obviously, you know, talk about a guy who's drafted in the 38th round, you're talking about, you know, a top 10 rounds
right.
kind of guy, you know, who you're scouting. You know, I think that different teams see different things in players. I think that that sometimes will override the, you know, baseball prospectus ranking him as the 18th ranked player in the Boston farm system.
Yeah.
But he may also be the third best pitcher, and teams looking for, you know, teams rank him as a pitcher and not as a prospect.
Right.
You know, or a third baseman, or, you know, the Cubs, you know, for example, a couple of years ago, you know, you may have been their 8th, 9th best prospect, but you probably were their best pitcher.
Right.
So they had all these young guys coming up. The Rizzo, the Schwarbers, all these guys who were coming up, Castro even, and Russell, who were their top prospects, and they were all infielders and outfielders. You know, very rarely were you having a pitcher that was, you know, their top prospect because, well, a lot of logjam at the front.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a busy day.
Yeah, a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and now I think more over the next 4 weeks you'll see the bigger names traded with the bigger contracts and the teams that'll get through waivers and,
right.
You know, probably was it today or tomorrow, you'll see, you know, every team submit every player to get them through waivers to see if they pass.
Yeah.
Because that's sometimes what happens is you'll submit your entire roster.
Yeah.
And you'll see who gets, because I believe that once they pass at one point, they're good at any time.
Yes, like, once they pass through, they're free to anybody who wants to take them. If you put them out there and a team claims them, you can work on a deal or pull them back or let them go. And once they're pulled back, they can't go through waivers again.
Right, but I think that someone could go through waivers now, today, and could be traded in 3 weeks. Like, you don't have to be put through waivers at a certain point.
Right.
Right, so there could be also players, and I'll pick, you know, David Ortiz. You know, he could have gone through waivers on April 30th. And now he's available. And, you know, no one has to block the trade and all that other stuff.
Right.
But, you know, usually teams don't do that because then, you know, you can't try to do that later on.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who comes up now that a lot of the prospects can be dealt. I mean, just about any guy in the 40-man roster is going to have to go through waivers. And some of those lower-tier guys will be able to be traded without having to pass through, though.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, though, to see what happens with some of these teams and now where, you know, some of these teams we talked about with, oh, well, they didn't do much, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. Well, you know, you may end up with a couple of blockbusters here and there that you don't even expect to have happen.
Right.
It'll be fun.
Yes, it will. Trading season's always the funnest.
Yeah, it seems to be the only sport. Hockey has a little bit of it, but you know, basketball is the problem, obviously, because you have to match the cap. And football, you never see players for players.
Right.
So.
In fact, you see a lot less trades in football just because they can cut them because they don't have guaranteed money.
Yes. Which is a very big thing for the owners.
Yeah. Something you'll never see in baseball.
No, never. So, all right, my friend.
All right, well, I will let you go. Get back to your app stuff.
Yeah, get back to work. I still got another couple of hours to go, I think, tonight.
Yeah. All right, well, good luck with that, and I'll talk to you again probably in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll pick up where this left off and see what happened between then and now.
All right.
All right, buddy, be good.
You too.
Bye.
So just for the record, the beta testing we were talking about at the beginning was his app for OCR Buddy, the obstacle course racing app that we talked about last episode. Like he said, it's in beta testing, but you can go to the website, OCRBuddy.com, and sign up for the mailing list. And once the app is ready, you'll get an email letting you know. So I'll have another episode this week. I talked to Joe Dust about music. We recorded it last week, and it's just been sitting waiting. I'll get that out later this week. And then we're doing a group podcast again. The Nerdcast guys are back. We're going to look at Comic-Con, some of the movie trailers and news that came out of it a couple weekends ago. And until then, you can check out the IJOV, the Inside Joke Outside Voice Podcast Network, ijov.net. You can find us on social media. At Nerdcast, that's NYRDCAST, on Twitter and Instagram. We're also on Facebook, as Toner says. Fucking Google it. We have our website, too, where we post random things here and there. That's www.nerdcast.com. Again, it's NYRDCAST. This is Outlier with their song, Left to Let It Go.
Petty, lifeless soul, and now I've turned into a joke because I'm young. But since no one can help, I will change on my own. I will show everyone the person I've become. And now I spark the fears that never burns out. I was just exhausted, now I'm constantly grown. Cut me out or pick me up. The worst part is